It's California Wine Country with Steve Jackson.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Hop Monk and the new Twin Oaks Roadhouse. Dan Berger, my co-host.
Nice to be back.
Read him in the Press Democrat. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. What's this cheese?
Estero Gold. Estero is a cow's milk cheese. This is from Oliver's. Sharon Montgomery does the job with the cheese over on Montecito store.
Right.
And this is Estero Gold, and it's a raw cow milk cheese, aged about as long as they will age Manchego, the Spanish cheese. I like this a little bit better than Manchego because it's got a little bit more nuttiness to it.
It's very nutty, like me.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Good line.
Man. Yeah, thanks to Sharon and all folks at Oliver's. Dan stops by and hooks up with Sharon every week and tells Sharon what wines we're going to be tasting, and she comes up with the cheese matches, and it's always spot on.
Yeah, she's really accurate on these things, and I think the most interesting thing is that she says, well, this goes better with red, and this one goes better with white, so forth and so on. But the problem we always have with this is that sometimes the white wine cheese goes better with the red and vice versa. So
it doesn't sound like a problem.
Can't be
at all.
Sure. But no, it's a good effort on Sharon's part, and we really appreciate Oliver's involvement here, because this is quite a nice little respite from the Wednesday afternoon.
No kidding. And you know, it used to be just a wine tasting. Now it's wine and cheese tasting and pairing every Wednesday, which is amazing. California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today we're featuring the wine master at Kendall Jackson, Randy Ullum, who is running a bit late. In his stead, we have Scott Lindstrom Dake and Steve Osburn from Thumbprint Cellars, one of my favorite places. That Scott Capurro is headlining comedy show tomorrow night.
That's correct.
And, of course, Steve Osburn is a great comedian and a member of the Needle Droppings panel every Friday here on The Drive, where we review new music released each week. Scott, talk about quickly just some of the history of Thumbprint.
I started making wine as a hobby in in college. Do you want my glass?
No.
Steven's glass is empty, unfortunately. That's a winemaker faux pas, if I've ever seen one.
That's all Steve's fault.
I started making wine in college to drink, really. And we drank most of it, gave some away to friends and family. But the holidays were coming around, and as a college student, I decided we were going to sign some of the bottles to give away. So I'm going to sign a bottle for you, and I pull out the nice gold ink pen, and instead of this beautiful flowy cursive whatever, it was a blob of ink that just exploded onto the bottle.
Right.
And I'm you know, doing this in my kitchen over the counter, so I'm trying to keep it from dripping all over the countertop. So I'm mopping it up with my thumb, and now I've got it all on my thumb, and I'm stuck it on one of the bottles and left a gold thumbprint. And
the rest is history.
It kind of started as a brand and passion all in one.
I'm big on wine labels, and I love your labels with the thumbprint and these glasses. This is plastic, I guess?
Yeah, I think they're carbon fiber.
Yeah, they're good plastic for wine.
They don't break. That's the nice thing. You can take them on the patio.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And they have the thumb indentation, the little indentation that perfectly fits your thumb when you're taking a sip.
They're called Govino, G-O-V-I-N-O, and they were developed about 10 years ago by a guy that I ran into by accident. Believe it or not, I met him at the Playboy Mansion.
There's another. Of course you did.
That's another story, which we'll go into.
You wild and crazy man.
And the story is, it goes on from there. But these things are really fabulous. They don't go in the dishwasher. Be careful, they'll melt. Yeah. But otherwise, fabulous for parties, and they travel well. Put them in your suitcase, and you always have a nice wine glass. Mm. And I think Randy's walking in the door here.
He comes.
He is. But I want to talk about, what did you guys pour from Thumbprint here? This is a Shard?
Well, no, we started you off with the Betsy's Vineyard Knights Valley Viognier.
Oh, okay.
And so this is a dry Viognier. Yep.
Oh, that's Dan's.
Oh, okay.
So we're on. I took a taste.
That one there is the Pinot Blanc.
Okay, I took a taste of the the Viognier, and it's very dry.
Yeah, yeah. But it's got that beautiful honeysuckle and a little bit of a dry apricot. Your nose might try to trick your palate to think that it's sweet, but it is actually a dry white wine.
Dan, was that Viognier you tasted from Thumbprint? That was the one you said it needs a little aging?
No, I like the Gewurz for aging. I think Gewurztraminer, as an aromatic grape variety, has a lot in it that is not revealed on its release. Often what happens with those grapes is that they show really nicely early on, but they show better when they're aged. And this goes to my column of this morning in the Press Democrat, and I didn't point out the aging potential of aromatic whites, but this is a good example where I think that a good quality Gewurztraminer can take a little bottle aging, and they develop a secondary characteristic. They build on that honeysuckle, and then they get a little bit more earthy, and this, you have a lot going on in those wines once they're a year or two old. I wouldn't age them real long, but a few years is really helpful.
Joining us right now is our official guest today on California Wine Country with Dan Berger. He is the winemaster at Kendall Jackson, Randy Ullum. Am I saying that right?
That's right, yeah. Most people don't get that quite right.
I haven't all day. They've been correcting me. I keep wanting to go Ullum or something, but good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Good to be seen. Good to be here.
Or even obscene.
That, too.
Actually, it's pronounced Coven. You were correct. It's not Coven.
It is Coven, I know.
Yeah, it's Coven.
You'd think
Coven.
The editor of the Bohemian would know how to say the word Coven. He said Coven.
No, he's thinking of Woven.
Yeah, whatever. Welcome, Randy, and... We, as I always do, we got to get your history and how you wound up at KJ and how you wound up in the wine business in general.
Seriously? The whole enchilada?
Yeah. Well, we're on till midnight, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it all started in high school where I liked wine better than beer, so I was in the minority there.
I'll taste to that.
Continued into college, I was studying mining engineering with a minor in skiing, so I went to Utah. And... my minor got me into trouble with my father, and I really was more focused on my minor than my major. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden I wasn't going to school. And so I just kept on with my minor, with the skiing, until the snow ran out. And then what does one do? It's kind of like the endless summer, but the endless winter. I decided to go down to Chile. Wow. To continue my skiing endeavors for 30 days, and then 60 days traveling back up to America. One thing led to another. And I ended up staying 3 years in Chile. And I didn't know it when I went there, but I had just gone into it was basically a country that the government had been democratically elected as a socialist government, quickly heading off into communism. So there's this great black market there. It was very, very exciting to stay there, and it was very inexpensive too. So I ended up staying for 3 years there. And I didn't realize it when I got there, but it was a major wine area.
Yeah.
And so now I was in the majority. The minority were the folks drinking beer, and the people who drank wine was pretty much everybody in that country. So I learned a lot there, and ultimately learned a lot about vineyards and making wine and distributing wine and everything like that, and good food too. So I thought after the coup, which wasn't much fun down there back in the 70s, I left. Yeah. And came back to this America and decided to switch my career path and figure out how to get into the wine business, kind of get paid to drink, that sort of thing. And here we are. So anyway, so that got me through to, I spent 1 year in Ohio as a winemaker.
We've been talking with Dan about Ohio, Michigan, places like that, making wine, and we've tasted some. It's amazing.
It's different, a lot of different varieties, sure. And it's not quite like here.
No.
And then I spent 5 years in upstate New York, and then moved out to California in 1981.
And you've been with KJ since 92?
Yeah, 21. My 24th harvest with Kendall Jackson.
And you became winemaster in 97, a long time ago.
Right.
Wow. You oversee the entire KJ portfolio.
Correct. Vineyards and all the tiers. A lot of cases. Dan, a lot of acres. A lot of grapes.
Thoughts on the whole thing here.
When Randy was making wine at Deloge, I discovered him without knowing who he was because I started tasting wines that I'd never tasted before. This guy has a vision. So... part of it is understanding vineyards, and part of it is knowing when to pick and what varieties are doing what things in what vineyards. And about a year or so ago, Randy sends me in the mail a pruning device, I guess you could call it. It's a big giant
basically
clipper,
shears.
Yeah. And he says, I got to take you out and show you how to prune. So this year, we're going out to prune. We haven't done it yet, as I had some problems last year. But this is a guy who knows everything there is to know about wine. And it's really fun to have known Randy over the years, because he really has such an incredibly pervasive understanding of wine from one end to the other, from one grape variety to another. I mean, you taste some wines that simply could not be conceived of in anybody's mentality, but Randy comes up with them. And the Jackson family products are remarkable in one respect, is that you don't know from the price how good the quality is. You taste the wine, you say, or vice versa, you say, gee, this is awfully good wine. What is it, $25? No, it's $15.
Yeah,
and this is what this company has really done, is to over deliver.
I agree, and I swear when I go, especially if I'm in Safeway, and not in a wine store or Oliver's or whatever, my often go to wine pick is a KJ.
Well, well, thank you for
the
that.
The prices and the they're just amazing.
Mm.
Now, Randy, how many winemakers you oversee all these? People, how many winemakers are now at KJ, and they all have different styles that they are in charge of? Or
well, what the way it works, we have about 20 or so.
Wow.
on the team, and there's sort of three different tiers. So I'm the lead guy, and then the next tier would be Mark Thies and
yeah.
Fritz Meyer and Christy, and so Christy does the, you know, her realm is the Bordeaux's. Mark is the Burgundian wines, and Fritz is everything else. And then the next tier down, we have an assigned a winemaker to a variety. So David Hastings, who's soon to retire, was the Chardonnay guy. The next person taking his place is Joey Stockton. And then as an example for Pinot, it'd be Tim, who's down in Monterey. So when we get to doing our tastings, because we have probably 2,400 different lots per year, just in the Chardonnay alone, it's 1,000. So it's the team of the three of us that will be the official tasters, plus others for educational purposes and to work on their palates and our palates. And then we'll work on grading all these different wines and put each individual varietal wine together. And then we have like five tiers, the Vintner's Reserve, the Avant, then the Grand Reserve, and then we have the Jackson Estate Appellation, the Jackson Estate Vineyard Designate, and then, of course, our stature. So we got a lot of different wines we're working with.
And you've got the beautiful KJ Wine Center, whatever, I keep forgetting what you call it.
Yeah, nowadays it's called the Wine Kendall Jackson Wine Estates and Gardens.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
So that's our visitor center just north of Santa Rosa on Highway 101 and getting off at River.
And we have Matt on all the time, with the heirloom stuff.
Right.
The tomatoes. And also you get to work with one of my favorite people, and a dear friend of ours here, who's on the show often, the executive chef.
Justin.
Super chef Justin Wangler.
Yes.
Man, what a dude. What a chef.
Yeah, between Justin and then the new fellow, well, not that new anymore, but Tucker Taylor, who's
right.
in charge of the gardens.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a genius on knowing exactly when to pick things. Mm-hmm. It used to be we would... Justin would be so happy to have all these gardens. He picked this carrot, and it'd be a little carrot, maybe a couple of inches long. And he said, these are really cool. They're fresh right out of the garden, all organic. But then when Tucker came, he really knows what he's doing. So he would be out there and, becomes one with the garden, and he'll pick that carrot. It might be just like an inch and an eighth long. And he'll bring that to Justin and say, this is the day. This is the
moment. Today's the day for this carrot.
This is the maximum flavor.
You can
get out of this.
You can see this in the eyes of winemakers and botanists, people who understand that kind of stuff. It's really interesting. The gleam in their eye is just so fascinating.
Yeah, we've met Tucker up at the tasting room at Thumbprint, and instantly I knew this guy is passionate about what he does. And he shows it and he talks about it. He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, it's kind of like the garden whisperer.
Yeah.
Did you get some of the Chardonnay, Steve?
Wait, we got to talk about that first. What was that, a Pinot Gris, did you say?
Oh, the Pinot Blanc. Pinot Blanc is from Amity Vineyards in Oregon. And it's a grape variety that's widely planted in Oregon. And there are probably 35 wineries in Oregon making Pinot Blanc now. It's kind of a local fascination You don't see very much of it in California. They sell it all locally. I decided to bring this one bottle out of the cellar because we really love wines from unusual grape varieties. And this is one of those. Pinot Blanc's not going to be seen very often in California. But when you see it, it's I would call it like a baby brother to Chardonnay. It doesn't have the same characteristics, but it's interesting. It's got some nice flavors, and it's got great minerality in the finish.
And this is from Oregon.
Yeah, it's from Oregon. It's from Amity Vineyards, small producer.
Willamette Valley.
From the Willamette Valley. And, you know, they grow a lot of Pinot Noir there. They grow a lot of Chardonnay there. But to me, the unknown secret grape variety for Oregon is Pinot Blanc.
Really?
Really wonderful. And as I said, 35 producers of it, and that's quite a bit. I mean, you don't get the people making Pinot Blanc unless there's a passion behind it.
Is there much here in our area?
There's a little bit growing in Santa Barbara County.
But not in Sonoma County.
Sonoma County, virtually nil.
Really?
Yeah, nothing growing up here.
Well, I like the taste of that.
It's a pretty nice wine.
Okay, and now you said a cab?
No, he brought a Chardonnay, rather impressive. Now this is Santa Barbara County, is it?
Now you know how I feel about Chard. It's my number
just
one.
Just an accident that it came.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is from Santa Barbara, Santa Maria Valley.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and it's a KJ Estate.
Yeah, this is this is what's called the Kendall Jackson Estate Appellation wine. So it's the Santa Maria Valley from Santa Barbara County, and then in the Santa Maria Valley we've got a bunch of vineyards on the Santa Maria Bench, and that bench is like the filet mignon of the Santa Maria Valley.
I don't think I've heard the term bench. What is
bench? Is an elevated property.
It's like on the side of a river. You'll have a maybe where the turn is of a river, it'll have cut away at the ground a little bit, and it could be like a flatter area, but it's not at the river bottom.
It's so up higher.
This would be like 160 feet off the river floor.
Oh, okay.
So that is a true bench, flat until you hit the hills, and then you work your way up the hills.
What's the vintage on this?
This is 2014, and it's all Chardonnay, all barrel fermented, all that good stuff. But what the really cool thing is about the Santa Maria Valley is you get a lot, especially this mostly Clone 4 Chardonnay, is that sort of rich oiliness in the palate. And then, of course, the tropical tones, the pineapple-y mango flavors are predominant in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm getting that kind of fruit.
Some people call it squash blossom or squash or pumpkin squash or something like that. What's really interesting is it's somewhat identifiable. This is one of those rare wines where once you smell it, and if you're familiar with the Santa Barbara County aromatics, boy, this is dead on Santa Barbara. This smells like Santa Barbara.
And price point?
Oh, $25, $30. Should be $65.
Probably.
This is a difficult wine to make, and especially with consistency. And year after year, Kendall Jackson's been trying to push, or Jackson family has been trying to push this kind of an aromatic. And with the same structure, there's decent acidity in here, good acidity. The problem that often happens with a lot of these wines is that they are, and I'll tell you the dirty little secret, okay? You serve these wines too cold, you'll never catch the character of the wine. And you go into a restaurant and order a bottle of this and they bring it out at 40 degrees, you'll never understand the wine. It's got to be served at 55 or 60 because then the wine opens up and it shows itself.
And this was not...
This wasn't cold at all.
It wasn't cold, no.
It's basically room temperature, which is how we taste everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even shards and...
Everything.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well, the taste. Think about what you're tasting there, Steve. This is
smell
broad.
More and taste more. When you start chilling things down,
really
you hide.
Cold,
you hide too much.
Well, yeah, it makes sense to me. It always does.
I taste better at room temperature.
Yeah, warm side of cellar temperature. You know, 65, 68 degrees.
All right, I'm getting the break sign from the doctor here. We will take our bottom break, and I suggest you do the same. Give your bottom a break. It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger. I want to talk a bit when we come back about today's column.
Yeah.
Which Mike is telling me, I meant to bring in the paper because I read it this morning, and I was going to bring it in because I wanted to talk about it in the Press Democrat. And Mike apparently found that it takes a day or so before you wind up online
Okay, well, we'll whatever, I don't control that.
No, of course you don't. Nor does Mike.
There's only so
I
much
do. No, I, but I want to talk about the main topic, and then and I want to do this every week, just to reiterate for folks who didn't read it in the PD or see it online, your wine of the week that you do. We will take our break, and we'll be back on California Wine Country on the Drive.